helping to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. This is the Constitution Study on the America Out Loud Network with your host, Paul Engel. Did you have a bully in school? I've had a couple of low-level ones. Nothing too serious, but when I grew up, I realized that all bullies seem to follow the same playbook. They pick out someone they think they can intimidate. They isolate them and metaphorically work them over as long as they can. It works the same way in Washington, D.C., your state house, and even in the media. They find a target they think they can intimidate. They attempt to isolate them, then bully them into compliance. Well, just as in school, though, the best way to deal with a bully is to stand up to them. Better yet, bring some friends with you. Hello there, everyday Americans. Paul Engel here with the Constitution Study. This is where we read and study the Constitution. We teach the rising generation to be free, and I am glad you could join me today. Bullying is nothing new. We've pretty much had bullies as long as we've hung around, as long as we've been people. But what I find interesting is how the bullying tactics have moved into, our political realm. Again, not a surprise, but it's something we need to learn to deal with. Today, I've got several examples of people acting like bullies, people in positions of authority, quote unquote, gotta use scare quotes, using their power to get their way, to bully and intimidate others. And in some cases, when people stand up, we see the bullies kind of crumble or at least start losing their power. And hey, if you can have the law on your side, so much the better. So let's take a look here. By now, we're all familiar with the District Attorney of Manhattan, Mr. Bragg, Alvin Bragg, and the case he has currently going, the indictment he got against former President Donald Trump. Now, a lot of people have tried to make a lot of hay over the fact that he got an indictment against Trump, and that doesn't really impress me. I mean, let's face it, the average district attorney can get a ham sandwich indicted. But what happened after that seems to have been rather interesting. So you've got, on the one hand, what appears to be Alvin Bragg acting as a bully, going after, in this case, Donald Trump. Not quite sure if he thought he was easily intimidated or he just thought it was worth it, but he's gone after him. And then members of Congress went after Mr. Bragg. See, Representative Jim Jordan subpoenaed Mr. Pomerantz. Now, he's accusing him, Mr. Pomerantz, of politicizing the investigation, of encouraging Bragg to charge Trump. But to then see Bragg filed a lawsuit against Jim Jordan in the House, calling for them to stop the enforcement of Pomerantz's subpoena as invalid and any future subpoenas that the committee might bring for him and his staff. So here you have, let's face it, it's a pissing competition. On the one hand, you have Mr. Bragg and the Manhattan District Attorney's Office. On the other hand, you have Jim Jordan and the Republicans in the House. Democrat versus Republican, Manhattan DA versus U.S. House should be an interesting all-out brawl. Well, this is where things stand at the moment, because a U.S. District Judge, Mary K. Viscalsi, I know I'm butchering it, and I do apologize. Well, she declined Mr. Bragg's request to squash the subpoena for Mr. Pomerantz. She noted in a book that Mr. Pomerantz published earlier this year, People versus Donald Trump, An Inside Account, Pomerantz admitted in the book to resigning from Bragg's office in February when he came to believe that Trump would not be indicted, telling Bragg that he was responsible for a grave failure of justice. Now, according to the judge, Pomerantz is in this situation because he decided to inject himself into the public debate by authoring a book that he described as appropriate and in the public interest. Bragg cannot seriously claim that any information already published in Pomerantz's book and discussed on primetime television in front of millions of people is protected from disclosure as attorney work product. It's one of those, you know, kind of hoist on your own petard, or, you know, I guess he who lives by the law shall die by the law. There's some funny in there that if I had the time, I'd get into. But I want you to notice what we have here is we have someone standing up to a bully. Now, understand, I fully believe that Jim Jordan is doing this as a political bias. I mean, he is a Republican. I believe he's a supporter of Donald Trump. I believe that had to be at least part of the reason why he bothered investigating it. So it's not like, you know, Mr. Jordan is as pure as the wind-driven snow and simply acting on behalf of the people of the United. No. See, he's now injecting himself and the federal government into a case that belongs in Manhattan. So neither one of these are in my mind, good actors. They're both bad actors. They're both acting for their own political self-interest and taking their positions and using them for their own political purposes. And while we're at it, Judge Viscousal isn't innocent either. See, one of the reasons why Bragg tried to squash a subpoena from the Judiciary Committee was that he said the committee lacked a valid legislative purpose to issue the subpoena. Well, the judge rejected that argument. She said congressional committees have the constitutional authority to conduct investigations and issue subpoenas, except that's not exactly true. Again, Congress can write laws that involve exercising the powers of the United States. It doesn't give them broad investigative or subpoena power. The purpose of Congress is to deal with legislation. They have the legislative power. They don't have a general, we can do whatever we darn feel like power. So even Judge Viscousal is a problem in this mess. Now, since then, Bragg has then, I guess he's filed suit against the House Judiciary Committee. Something that, we'll just say the judge didn't think would go too well. But again, we're not done yet. You see, although the district court denied its quash for subpoena, an appeals court, the Second Circuit Court of Appeals, issued a temporary administrative hold on that decision. But subsequent to that, District Attorney Bragg dropped his efforts to squash the subpoena, dropped his suit, and now the House Judiciary Committee is going to get a chance to depose a former Manhattan prosecutor, Pomerantz. Now, if you're having a hard time keeping track of the players and you feel like you need a scorecard, don't feel bad. It is kind of a mess with suits and countersuits and subpoenas and accusations and vilifications going all different ways. But I want you to recognize what's going on here, or at least in related to the to this episode. What you have are two men throwing their weight around, and you have a couple of judges throwing their weight in there too. You see, if we were working through the way the Constitution was created, was organized to fulfill the purpose to establish justice, we wouldn't be playing these types of games, but we deal with human beings. We're dealing with people, many of whom have spent a large part of their careers getting pretty much what they want and being rewarded for using their position to intimidate others. Now, again, that's not all. If you look at the House Judiciary Select Subcommittee on the Weaponization of the Federal Government, another questionable committee, by the way, that I've pointed out in the past, you have member Stacey Plaskett. She is the exact term. She's the member from the Virgin Islands. So she doesn't, I believe, have a vote on the floor, but she does represent the Virgin Islands as a U.S. territory. And she's not happy with the Twitter files. she'd been very unhappy with the Twitter files. I've seen a couple of her statements that go on and on. Well, now she's after Matt Taibbi because while he was on an MSNBC show, he made a mistake. See, he in a tweet, he made a mistake. He referred to the CISA, which is the acronym for the, was it the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, a federal agency, when what he meant was CIS, which is the Center for Internet Security. Now, he made corrections, but you see, he happened to make that mistake in front of Congress, testifying in front of the committee. Now, because of this, because he was under oath, now Representative Plaskett believes he should be charged with perjury, which can be punishable under up to 5 years under 18 U.S.C. 1621. I don't know about you, but if every time somebody made a mistake when speaking to Congress, spent 5 years in jail, we'd need more federal prisons. Did Mr. Taibbi make a mistake? Apparently. There is one issue that I believe Ms. Plaskett may have forgotten. See, I looked up 1621, and it says, whoever having taken an oath before a competent trial, or sorry, tribunal, officer, or person in any case in which the law of the United States authorizes an oath to be administered, that he will testify, declare, depose, or certify truly, or that any written testimony, declaration, deposition, or certificate by him subscribed is true, willfully and contrary to such oath states or subscribes any material matter which he does not believe to be true. Notice that word willfully. Now again, Mr. Taibbi says, yes, I made a mistake. I misspoke. And he corrected it. See, Ms. Plaskett would have to prove not merely that Mr. Taibbi misspoke, but that it was intentional, that he was willfully attempting to lie, to dissemble, to mislead the subcommittee before which he was testifying. Something even in her statements I haven't heard. What I heard was a simple mistake. Maybe I'm wrong. What I do see is I see Ms. Plaskett once again using her position to try and to shut down information she doesn't like the facts and data out of the Twitter files, and to intimidate those who support that information, and using her position to attempt to bully others. I can only hope that Mr. Taibbi, being a journalist who's dealt with this for a while. My hope is he's got a good attorney, because a good attorney ought to be able to shred this one even quicker than I did, because I'm not a law expert. I'm a constitutional scholar. And even I looked it up and said, can you show that he willfully was trying to mislead Congress and didn't make a simple typographical mistake that once he found out about it, he went back and corrected? I think you'd have a hard time pushing that. But what do I see? Why do I bring this up? It is this using of positions of power. We've now got a term for it even. We call it lawfare. When people use the law, not for justice, but as a type of warfare. They use the law to bully and intimidate others. Often this is done. We've seen this done for decades in the corporate world. I remember when I was a boy, probably a young man, my father's company was sued for copyright infringement. Now, he had all the documentation. He had all the evidence. He had all the proof that this was a unique work that they had come up with organically. But his lawyer said, it doesn't matter. Better off to settle. I said, why? Well, because you go before a jury, and what they're going to see is a struggling artist, a struggling author, versus a corporation. Odds are they're going to go with the author, not because of the evidence, but because of the emotion. And this has been used repeatedly. When you have a large company that gets sued and then uses their multitude of lawyers to bury their opponent in legal motions and nonsense or voluminous evidentiary information that has nothing to do with the case at hand, but anything they can throw at them to just bully them into submission. That's kind of, in a way, what American jurisprudence has devolved to. It's not a question of right and wrong. It's not even a question of justice. It's become who's got the better lawyers who can twist the facts and the evidence to their approved narrative. And I'm certainly not going to believe that this is new to government. It's just been, it's become so in your face, so right there. And it makes me wonder. As I said, the answer to a bully is to find someone willing to stand up to the bully, preferably with other people that will come up and back them. But before I get into that, I have to take a break. Now, one of the things I'd love you to check out is go to the website, constitutionstudy.com. Everything you want to know about the Constitution Study is there, including ways you can get involved and ways you can help. I'm working. If you live in Middle Tennessee, I'm putting together my mini boot camp. I'm looking for a venue. I'm looking for a date somewhere around Independence Day, that general time frame, where I can bring people in and give them the tools they need to help stand up to the bully, to build an argument with the right tools, the right legal information, not to replace the work that you're doing, but to enhance it, to make it better. So if you want to find out more, go to constitutionstudy.com. And keep an eye out. The announcement should be coming out within the next week or so if all things go well. So please keep an eye out. Maybe sign up for the newsletter. That would help. Now, also, I'd love it if you checked out Healthy Cell. They've got some really great products. I am using Focus and Recall. I get to the end of the day and I'm having a hard time focusing, trying to get stuff done. It'd be easy to reach. You can reach with a cup of coffee or maybe an energy drink, but I got something better for you. See, Focus and Recall boosts your short-term focus and your long-term brain power using nothing but Healthy Cell's vitamins. Healthy Cell is a leading developer in supplements that work at the cellular level to keep you healthy. So I use Focus and Recall regularly. Now, if you want to try it, as an America Out Loud listener, you can get 25% off your first order if you use the code OUTLOUD at checkout. So please, go to HealthyCell.com, put your order together, maybe try some Focus and Recall, but use that code OUTLOUD at checkout. Let them know you listen to America Out Loud, and as a thank you, you get 25% off your first order.
In 2008, people could spend an average of 12 seconds on a task without becoming distracted. 5 years later, it was only 8 seconds. The digital age is narrowing our attention span. Trouble concentrating or recalling information is frustrating, embarrassing, and kills productivity. Advanced nutrition company, Healthy Cell, created Focus and Recall to boost your brain power. And unlike other supplements that don't work, Focus and Recall is not a pill. It's a patent-pending gel you swallow with ultra-absorption of science-backed ingredients to help you immediately sharpen focus, concentrate longer, and strengthen recall. These physician-formulated gels come in a small gel pack. Tear off the top, shoot it down. Thousands of 5-star reviews proves it works. Supercharge your brain and see the difference. Go to HealthyCell.com and use limited time code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. Risk-free. Love it or your money back. Guaranteed. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD.
The pandemic may be over for some, but millions of Americans are needlessly suffering from the long-haul effects of toxic spike protein from COVID-19 and the vaccines. You've heard Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company discuss the harmful effects of spike protein in your body. And now they found the solution. The miracle enzyme nattokinase. Their spike support formula contains nattokinase, the most compelling and scientifically supported approach to safely clear spike protein out of the body. What's more, spike support is optimized with other all-natural, non-GMO ingredients, like dandelion root, to help prevent spike protein from binding to your cells. Everyone should take daily spike support so you can feel your best. America Out Loud listeners can go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order.
You wouldn't go a day without brushing your teeth or washing your hands. What about washing your nose? I mean, your nose does filter the air you breathe, air loaded with bacteria, viruses, and irritants. Make nasal hygiene part of your routine with Clear. No messy bottles to fill, no drowning sensation. Clear is a natural drug-free saline with the added benefit of xylitol, which blocks bacterial and viral adhesion. Available in stores and online at clear.com. That is X-L-E-A-R.com.
Welcome back, Everyday Americans. You've rejoined the Constitution Study. I'm glad you could join me today. And today we're talking about, well, bullies. Bullies that we see not just in the schoolyard like when we were kids, but in the media, in government, so many different places. Now, one of the examples I see in a bully is the real subtle one. You know, it's kind of the version of the bully making you hit you, you know, taking your hand and hitting you in the face and, why are you hitting yourself in the face? You know, you're making me do this to you. Well, we have an example of that with, kind of our perennial foot and mouth person, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
With January 6th.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw that in the lead up to January 6th and how we navigate questions, not just of freedom of speech, but also accountability for incitement of violence. This is the line that we have to really explore through law as well.
Is anyone else find it laughable that someone who, I don't know, support Antifa and BLM is now worried about violence and the incitement to violence? And of course, what do you have? You have a government actor that wants to regulate, that wants to use the law to tell other people what they can and cannot do. But there's more. And this comes up with a question from the Jen Psaki, who's interviewing Ms. Ocasio-Cortez.
And do you think media organizations or social media platforms should be accountable for the role, for being platforms for incitement?
I believe that when it comes to broadcast television, like Fox News, these are subject to federal law, federal regulation in terms of what's allowed on air and what isn't. And when you look at what Tucker Carlson and some of these other folks on Fox do, it is very, very clearly incitement of violence.
You know, I guess maybe I'm not a psychologist, so don't pretend to be one. But it certainly does sound like a case of projection. I don't follow Tucker Carlson, but I've yet to see anybody give an example of where Tucker Carlson incited anyone to violence. But she goes, it's obviously, definitely, it's incitement. How? How is it incitement to violence? See, what they say is it's a violent to us. You know, words are violence. Fists are not violence, but words are violence. Well, let me show you an example of an actual incitement to violence. This one actually comes from TikTok. I saw this video. I'm not a TikTok person. I'm not on it. But this was posted, I believe, to the Libs of TikTok channel, maybe. It came through on Twitter. So listen to this quote-unquote trans activist.
We have allies who are also arming up. Because this is a war you started. The old expression, you prod the bull long enough, you're going to get the horns. If you back a wild animal into a corner, they're going to become a dangerous animal. So if you want to die on that hill of yours of righteousness and moral majority, then you go right ahead.
Notice the first thing that this bully is doing here. They are projecting. They're making it your fault. They are, this dude... Sorry, he calls himself a woman. He's a dude. This dude is pissed. I understand he's pissed. And to a certain extent, I actually give him credit for the strength of his convictions and his willingness to fight for them. But notice what he's saying. You've backed us into this corner. We aren't the ones trying to put men into girls' rooms. We aren't the ones ignoring reality. We aren't the ones that are trying to endangering thousands and potentially millions of women and young girls because you have a mental disorder. But hang on, there's more.
I dare you to try and stop me from going into a women's bathroom. It will be the last mistake you ever make. I dare you to try and stop a transgender woman in my presence from using the bathroom. It will be the last mistake you ever make.
Now, I dare her to try and go into a bathroom where my daughter or my wife are using it. A man. Now, I have to be honest. I have to be forthright. There are situations where me as a man will enter a lady's restroom. Very specific reason. See, my wife is in a wheelchair. And contrary to popular opinions, many of these ADA wheelchair accessible bathrooms are not that wheelchair accessible. But I always make a point before I enter. Is anyone in here? Let's make sure, you know, I'm not trying to shock anybody. I'm not trying to surprise anybody. I'm warning people, this is a man coming into a woman's restroom to assist my wife. I'm not a dude in a dress pretending to be a girl.
This is a call to action and a call to arms to everybody within the United States that are scared, worried, have children that are transgender, lesbian, bi, or gay. This is a call to action.
Now we're spreading it, right? Oh, it's not just the transgenders. Transgender children are a myth. The only reason that children identify as transgender is because an adult has coerced them into it. But that's another question. But what we have here now is, if you're gay or bi, now we're going to expand it.
You need to arm up. Plain and simple. Go out, buy a gun, learn how to use it efficiently, through and through, because the time to act is now.
Now, believe it or not, I happen to agree with this dude right here. Yes, you should be, I believe people should be armed. They should train themselves on how to use it properly and use it efficiently. But I also remind them that the only legal time you can use lethal force of any kind is in defense of yourself or another innocent party. Being denied access to a woman's room when there's most likely a men's room right next door is not a threat to your life. This is a threat to your lifestyle. And that is the type of rhetoric. That is the type of incitement to get people to arm up because they are not being allowed to use the bathroom that they want because the 95, 99% of the rest of the people don't appreciate it. They don't want to be there with a dude hanging out in the ladies' room.
You need to protect yourself and you need to protect your fellow transgender brothers and sisters and theys and thems. You need to protect the rest of us in the LGB community, as I'm going to do myself.
Now, this tirade goes on for a while. And to be what, I'm not impressed. I truly am not impressed. This is not someone saying, hey, they're coming to take our life. We need to prepare. You need to make sure you're prepared. This is a person who's upset because someone's being denied the use of a restroom because they do not legally possess the attributes necessary to use that particular restroom. This is what I talk about, an incitement to violence. Again, this person is not talking about this dude. And I know if he ever hears it, it's going to piss him off. Fine. Be pissed off. You're a dude. You're a dude with a mental issue. Listen, you want to walk around with long hair and a dress? Go for it. You're an adult. I don't care. But if you're telling me, if you're going to threaten me with violence, with a gun, because I will protect my wife and my daughter when they use a single-sex bathroom, one that you are not the sex to use it, then we have a problem, ladies and gentlemen. See, this is incitement to violence. This is a call to arms and a call to violence, not in defense of your life, not in the defense of the life or serious bodily injury of another innocent human being, in defense of an agenda. Nothing more than an agenda. But you see, Ms. Ocasio-Cortez says Fox News should be regulated because, well, she doesn't like Tucker Carlson. And she thinks that the words he used are violence because she doesn't like them. But here we have an example of potential violence. Someone calling to arms. And again, if this person had merely say, be prepared because I think they're coming to harm us. I think there's going to be violence. So be prepared. I would not have a problem. But that's not what this dude is calling for. This dude is calling for people to be armed up because they want to use somebody else's bathroom and they don't like being told no. You know what? I will defend my wife and my daughter. And if that means that I meet this dude somewhere and my wife is in or my daughter's in the restroom and he wants to go in, we're going to have words. And I'm not going to incite violence, but I certainly will respond in kind. Or, as Captain John Parker said, do not fire unless fired upon. I'm prepared. I'm not prepared to defend a political agenda, a mental disease, a social contagion, but I am prepared to defend my family. And I am prepared to defend all of their rights, not just the ones that this dude thinks are appropriate or not. You know, for all of Western history, there's been a recognition of sex, of the difference between the sexes. And we had, as long as we've had single-sex bathrooms, it was understood. The boys go to the boys' room, the girls go to the girls' room. Now, all of a sudden, these people don't get their way. They don't ignore the rights of the 99% of the rest of Americans. They get denied their way. They're ready to go to violence to get their way. And that's a bully. That's a bully that's got stood up to and is now pushing back. Well, it's time to stand up anyway. See, that's the thing with bullies. Most bullies, when you stand up to them, will back down. Some bullies, however, well, they don't back down. They simply get more violent. They bow up even more. The answer, again, is not to back down to them. It's to stand up to them and to bring more people. Now, as I was talking about last week, this is another example of fascism. I don't get what I want. I just simply get a bigger stick. It's the same, you know, this isn't really different than Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez saying, if I don't get the news coverage I want, I will get a bigger stick. Here, if I don't get to use the restroom I want, I will get a bigger stick. Part of me is just confused. I'm trying to figure out how the world went so mad. How the world went so crazy. I mean, I see bits and pieces of it, but this level of stupid. Now, I guess in times past, everyone thought the level of stupid was unbelievable. But we're watching the American Republic. We're watching freedom and liberty crumble. When a House representative can try to shut down a news anchor because she doesn't like the coverage. When a 40-year-old dude tries to bully young others because he wants to use the women's restroom. When attorneys general or district attorneys use their position, when other representatives use their position, all we have are people bowing up and using power. And you know what I don't hear in any of this? Any real legal basis for most of this nonsense. It's one of the reasons why the entry point to my new Patriots program is a thing called the Mini Boot Camp. Now, the Mini Boot Camp has two main things it does. One is it helps create a foundation so that when someone comes up with a stupid argument like, I think I'm a girl, therefore I get to use the girl's restroom, you can come up with a better defense than that. You have a way to stand against the rhetoric, one that will stand the test of time. Not simply, I don't like this, so therefore I must get what I want. But it's also to give us tools to stand up against the politicians. Tools to stand up against the media. Tools to stand up against corporations. Tools that you can use right here, right now, to defend your rights, to protect your liberty, and that of your family and of your neighbors as well. Now, the mini boot camp and the Patriots program, by the way, they're not designed to replace what it is you're already doing. It's designed to make you better at it. Again, to build a stronger argument, to make a better case, to be more, to be open to ideas that may be true that you hadn't thought of, as well as the tools to defend and protect yourself. So please, head to the website, constitutionstudy.com, sign up for one of the mailing lists. My goal is to have the first announcements out this week, where you'll be able to sign up the and be notified as things progress. That's my goal. We'll see how that all works out. But I hope you will join me. If you're in the Middle Tennessee area, I hope you join me for the boot camp. Again, you should see the pages start showing up on the website later this week, where you can sign up and let me know if you're interested, and I'll keep you updated with time and venue. Otherwise, I hope you just join us for the Patriots program as it ramps up later this year, and hopefully we'll give you the tools that you need to help live as a free American in a society that seems more and more run by, well, we'll just call them what they are, fascists. Meanwhile, I hope you will join me here in the Constitution Study. You know, we're just one of many voices on America Out Loud Talk Radio. You've also got the podcasts and the articles. So do like I do. Make AmericaOutLoud.com a daily stop for the latest news and information. See, it's more important than ever that we look at these articles, these videos, the podcasts, the stories, that we learn from them and that we share them. We share them with friends. We share them with family. We share them on social media. We help people see other points of view. Because if not, well, we end up like Ms. Ocasio-Cortez and thinking that any view other than ours, well, should be dealt with criminally. See, it's not just sharing information. It's also how we share and how we secure the blessings of liberty.
We know you love the versatility and portability of the Genesis Fogger, but sometimes you just want to set it and forget it. Well, we heard you. Introducing the UX4 HOCL Atomizer. This stationary unit quietly protects you and is perfect for smaller spaces. With over 250,000 units sold in Japan, it's now available in the United States. Visit genesisfogger.com/outloud to see the UX4 in action and receive a 15% discount on either Fogger with promo code OUTLOUD. With Genesis, you're ready for anything.
World-class care from doctors you can trust, all from the comfort of your home. That is One Wellness. Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company designed the One Wellness membership to provide free monthly supplements and unlimited telemedicine access with doctors that share your values. Go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first month of One Wellness.
For 40 years, alarmists have been warning of a climate catastrophe, yet none of their dire predictions have come true. Temperatures have not soared, sea level rise has not been unusual, and extreme weather events have not increased in either frequency or intensity. In short, there is no climate emergency. For 15 years, the International Climate Science Coalition has led the call for climate realism and a Made in America climate plan. A plan based on real science that responds to the real-world needs of Americans, supports economic growth, and strengthens our essential infrastructure. A plan that protects the environment and ensures that Americans can enjoy the blessings of clean air, clean land, and clean water for generations to come. It's time to put ideology and pseudoscience aside. It's time for a sensible climate plan. For more information or to donate, visit our website, ICSC-climate.com.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. You've rejoined the Constitution Study. I'm glad you could join me here as we're talking about bullies. We've talked about bullies in Congress, bullies in the media, bullies in the legal profession, the Justice Departments. They're all over the place. What I find most interesting is when people go from simply being bullies or victims of bullies to coming up with the, well, what I can only call the craziest examples. The coming up with the craziest ideas in order to placate the bullies. Now, there was a recent announcement by Treasury Secretary Pete Buttigieg, and I don't have a recording of that, but I do have a recording of Representative DeLauro from Connecticut highlighting the very, very important work that she believes Mr. Buttigieg is doing.
You also plan to make important investments to address the roadway safety crisis, including the critical funding that would accelerate the development. And this is an area I've written to you about, of the use of female dummies in crash testing. This will start to fight the gender inequity among vehicle safety and crash victims.
Now, of course, my first is, wait a second, gender equality amongst crash test dummies? Now, there is a certain amount of logic to this, right? The women are generally smaller than men. But I already know that the companies and the agencies that do these crash safety tests use dummies of both sizes. In other words, there's a male model, there's a female, but believe it or not, there's even models for children. So I'm not quite sure why Pete Buttigieg believes he needs $20 million to feminize crash test dummies. Now, again, if Mr. Buttigieg has any actual evidence that the female analog of the current crash test dummies is not adequate, well, then bring it. Show us why, where are the deficiencies in the current female analog being used? That's what I want to know. But based on what I've seen so far in the media, and again, I don't know if this is Mr. Buttigieg alone or just the media, they're focusing on, well, we have to have female crash test dummies. You know, I'm sorry, crash test dummies don't have a sax. But I have to wonder something else. See, with this spate of recent railroad derailments, including the tragic one in Ohio with all the chemical spills, is it really the focus of our transportation secretary to deal with gender inequality among crash test dummies? Again, if you have evidence that the current female analog is not sufficient, then show it. That's what I want to know. While we're at it, why does President Biden want to spend $1.9 million in order to embed diversity, equity, inclusion, and accessibility in the American Spaces Digital Literacy and Training Program? Let me back up. See, the Bureau of Education and Cultural Affairs at the State Department, right? The State Department, the agency that deals with foreign affairs, they have a digital literacy and training program that I guess they're trying to promote American literature and literacy around the world, I guess. But they want to focus on, or they want to embed, I should say, diversity, equity, inclusion, and accessibility to all of these countries, many of whom look at us and go, what kind of twisted perverts are you when you're dealing with diversity? We don't care, you know, we're still judging people by the color of their skin. We're still worried about whether or not, no matter how hard you work, you all get the same outcome. We don't want to keep score. We want to promote this. This is what the President of the United States wants to promote around the world. This is what the President of the United States wants the people of the world to understand about the American people. Because the purpose of this is to increase mutual understanding between the people of the United States and the people of other countries. Really? Well, there's one other thing that we think is very important that foreign entities, foreign people know. There's a priority around the world that we need to know, that the American government is looking to squash information they don't like. Because according to a State Department spokesman, this information is a priority issue around the world. And the grant will help achieve U.S. foreign policy goals by promoting this apparent disinformation or by calling anybody that disagrees with us just spreading disinformation. You know, like the last 6,000 years of human history is all disinformation because we didn't realize that, you know, boys could be girls and color of your skin mattered. That's what they're trying to spread. That's what they want the rest of the world to think of us. And speaking of disinformation, we come back to Meta, the now parent company of Facebook. Maybe it was apropos. Several days ago, I was at a networking event in my county, and we were talking. People said, oh, you should post that on our Facebook page. I'm like, I can't. I've been kicked off of Facebook. Someone else said, well, maybe you could post it, catch up with me on LinkedIn. I can't. I've been kicked off of LinkedIn. Because the last thing I think Facebook wanted people to know is how we actually elect the president of the United States. I don't know what LinkedIn was upset about, but it's something based on the content I've been producing right here at the Constitution Study. Well, while we're at it, Meta's oversight board wants to continue censoring information about COVID-19 until the World Health Organization suddenly decides it's no longer a public health emergency. I have this little piece of advice for you. An expert opinion is still just an opinion. Until you have facts and data behind it, an expert opinion is just an opinion. Being an expert in things like the Constitution helps me explain my opinion, helps me find evidence to support my opinion. But it's not the fact that I'm an expert that makes my opinion better. It's the evidence I bring to show that what I'm saying is right. So when the World Health Organization, with absolutely zero evidence that COVID was ever actually an international public health emergency, it was a big cold. Even the original version had a death rate less than 1% in all but a few demographics. But you see, the WHO has an advantage. They have an incentive to promote to keep COVID-19 going. They get billions and billions of dollars. They're getting all this money to spread the fake vaccine around, to get billions and billions of people to take this fake vaccine. Why in heaven's name would they want to stop considering COVID-19 a public health emergency? They're getting rich off of it. They're getting power from it. It's the same reason why Biden doesn't want to end the United States public health emergency, because it gives him power. But Meta says, no, we're just going to continue this. We're going to continue censoring information that the WHO doesn't like until the WHO tells us that this is not an emergency anymore. Does that tell you a little bit about Meta? It tells me a lot about Meta. So it tells me that Meta is using an interesting twist on the bully effect. Now understand, Meta is a private company. If Meta wishes to censor information on their platform, they have every legal ability to do so. I don't disagree with it. I never have disagreed with it. I never said that Facebook didn't have a right to boot me off. I never said LinkedIn didn't have a right to boot me off. But what do we learn from this? What should the American people learn from this? The American people should learn that Meta, the WHO, and Facebook, including, I believe, Instagram, have no interest in your freedom. They don't care about your rights. They're more interested in controlling you. They're more interested in picking your pockets, in gathering intelligence about you to that they can sell. They're more interested in sucking you dry like you're a battery in the matrix than they are in your rights. It's one of the reasons why I found it interesting. Facebook suddenly started sending me messages again, kind of like they want me back. I won't go back. I don't care. I'm tired of being censored. I'm not going to put myself under their thumb. It's one of the reasons why in the Constitution Study Patriots, one of the pillars is communication. How do we build a communication infrastructure, a committees of correspondence that can get around the censorship, that's not controlled by any one platform or any one system or any one network, so that no matter what, we can continue communicating. We can keep sharing these ideas. We can keep sharing this information that comes from getting away from Facebook. I don't trust Facebook. I don't trust it. In fact, you know, it's interesting. I've never read a Facebook feed. I don't follow a Twitter feed or any of these social media, even the quote unquote patriotic, the censorship free. I don't let them feed me data. I find data for myself. You know, it's interesting. What's the old saying? Give a man a fish, feed him for a day, teach a man to fish, feed him for a lifetime. See, if you give a man a fish, they're dependent on you. Why do you think the government wants to give you everything? They aren't doing it for your own benefit. They want you dependent on government. Why? Because it gives the bully power. Teach a man to fish. You feed him for a lifetime. You make him not dependent on others. They can do it themselves. So, ladies and gentlemen, rather than simply feeding you information, handing it to you like a fish, I'd rather teach you how to go out and find it for yourself. It's a lesson I learned over years of trying a lot of different things. What do I do? Well, let's start with this. I use a news aggregator program. This is a tool that allows you to take these news feeds, these RSS feeds you may have heard of, and it brings them all together into one place. Now, the one I happen to use is called Feedly. I use Feedly basically because it was the first one that I found that really worked the way I like it. There are several different programs. Many, by the way, many web browsers have a news aggregator feature to them. So I have Feedly, and I start putting in news feeds. I don't know how many news feeds. I've probably got 30, maybe 40 that I have put together over the years. In other words, I'll find one. Actually, I'm looking more. It's probably more like 50 or 60 at this point. I just showed you how little I pay attention. What I do is when I find a source that I think may be interesting, I add the feed to my Feedly list, and then I start getting news from it. And if it starts looking stupid or something I don't want, then I remove it. But I'm looking at this now. I've got probably 30 just listed as straight news, not including things like politics, where I've got about four or five more, and other things of interest. So what this means is I now have, think of your of a Facebook feed or a Twitter feed, but I've built it myself. I haven't let them decide through their algorithm what I should be reading. I've created it myself. I've curated it myself. Now, what I do is pretty much every night after dinner, right, my wife and I will sit down and watch TV, and I'll reach over and I'll grab my iPad, and I will start scrolling through headlines, looking for things of interest. I generally go through about 500 to 600 headlines each and every day. It's a little less on the weekends, maybe 400 to 500 on the weekends, but most days it's 500 to 600 or more. And what I do is I mark the ones I think are interesting to me and the ones I think might be interesting to you. I can just, in this program, it's one of the reasons I like this program, is I can just mark it, because then I can go back later, which I usually do the next day, and I go through that list of things I thought might be interesting, and I decide, is this really interesting or not? And that's how I build, by the way, it's how I build my list of topics that I cover here on the radio program. It's how I find topics for my main website and my video feed and all the other things. I share information with friends and family, but I curate it myself, because I don't want Meta's bullies telling me what I need to know. I'm going to figure that out for myself. And it's something I recommend the rest of the American people do. It's not hard. We live in an amazing time. When I was young, you had very few choices for information. We had three networks TV networks that had news on them. We had a handful of radio stations, all of which seemed to get their news from the same source. You had, depending on where you lived, one, two, maybe three newspapers, many of which got their news from the same source. So you had a handful of places to get news, and it was all curated for you. Now we can curate it ourselves. Now we can go out and judge and determine. I can look at this website and say, I'm getting good content from this website. I want to continue. And if it's a really good site, I might actually pay to get their data. It depends if they're a good website. If it's a bad website, if I'm getting a lot of propaganda, or they play a clickbait tricks, like they'll give you a headline that seems really, really cool, but as soon as you click into the story, it's just, it's nonsense. It's not what the headline purported to be. Then I ditch them, and I get to curate. Why? Because then the bullies aren't telling me what I need to know. I'm figuring it out for myself. And ladies and gentlemen, that is an amazingly freeing experience. Now, if you like the content I've been finding, well, remember, you can listen to the Constitution Study every weekday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time on America Out Loud Talk Radio, heard in the iHeartRadio Network. You can also listen to our podcast. My episodes come out generally a couple days after they're heard on Talk Radio, and you can listen to them in your favorite podcast program. Just do me a favor. Subscribe to the show. It helps us in the ratings. Leave us a rating and review. It helps other people find and try the Constitution Study. Now, you can share all this information by going to AmericaOutLoud.com, where you can find all the links for the program, for the radio program, for the podcast. But as I said, you can share them. You can help other people find the Constitution Study and the news and the stories that we uncover here. And of course, you can always ask a question. I love when people ask questions. You can do it by going to the website, constitutionstudy.com. You can share that information out there as well. See, it's that engagement, it's that sharing, it's that being part of everything that helps make America free. It is how we go about securing and sharing the vaunted blessings of liberty to everyone in this great country, from sea to shining sea.